You can listen to The Professional Left wherever you get your podcasts, on Netroots Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for February 4th, 2022. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the Cornfield Resistance, where the snowdrifts are currently as high as an elephant's eye, it's The Professional Left with Drift Glass and Blue Gal.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Yeah, we're not going to be visiting P.O. Box 9133 today. Probably not tomorrow either. Maybe not Saturday. I don't know.
It's a snow day. It's a snow day.
It's a very snow day.
Yesterday and today and tomorrow.
Yeah, that gentle humming in the background you might hear is not just our sense of self-satisfaction and smug self-regard. It is also the sound of our furnace, which we always turn off during podcasting because it makes a little background noise. But today we are snowed in on all sides and it's real cold out. So we're going to leave it on and...
Yeah, so if you hear white noise behind us, it's just our furnace.
Yeah, keeping us from turning into the Donner Party.
Right, right.
We're well provisioned. Look out the door. It's like, man, oh, man. You know?
No, you know when you open the storm door and it pushes snow out of the way on the porch. That's a lot of snow. I think we've had, in the past 24 hours, maybe a foot and a few.
A foot and a few and then drifts. It blows up into pretty awe-inspiring drifts.
As I told ironically, Middle Child in Wisconsin's had no snow this week.
I know.
It just went whoosh underneath Wisconsin this time.
And my sister in Arizona, where they have fires and they have people who don't want to wear masks.
Yeah.
Texted me going, "Be careful now." So I'll be very careful.
I'll be careful in the snow. The groundhog at Punxsutawney Phil, the only official groundhog that we acknowledge here at DGBG, he saw his shadow.
Came out.
Six more weeks of winter.
Flipped us all off.
And we also observed that it is Chinese New Year.
Yeah.
Year of the Tiger.
Yeah.
And Robert over at the Canterbury Cathedral morning prayer service noted that the year of the tiger denotes both patience and courage, which I kind of like.
Yes. It's like chopping wood and carrying water.
It's kind of like that. I don't want to forget when we're always talking about chop wood, carry water.
What that means.
That the whole phrase is before elections, chop wood, carry water. After elections, chop wood, carry water. So we keep it on as even a keel as possible.
And the original quote is before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water.
Right.
After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water.
Correct.
It doesn't change your material status in the world or you need to do work. And that's why when shoveling, as I was explaining to someone on social media, it's a process. I said, you shovel a little, you go inside and read a little bit of to build a fire, which is about a guy dying in the Arctic.
Yeah.
And then you go out and shovel a little bit more. And you come back in and read a little bit more about the dog that had the good sense to abandon him after he made many, many stupid mistakes that is definitely going to lead to his death. It's a wonderful short story. It is one of the ones we studied and deconstructed for writing classes when I was taking those. And I urge you to read it at your leisure. But I wouldn't suggest doing it on a cold day when you're snowed in. Read something warm and snuggly.
Or watch HMS Pinafore.
Yes, which is what we did. Oh, my God. That was so much fun. That was so much fun. You got your computer to talk to a TV.
Yes. It's called Chromecasting.
It threw the signal across the room.
A lot of our podcast listeners do that, actually.
To me, all technology. I'm a former technology guy. And to me, technology is all magic.
Yeah.
Current technology, I just assume it's going to work in ways that are mysterious and wonderful. And usually it does. And we got to watch the New York Gilbert and Sullivan Society doing HMS Pinafore.
Yeah, on Sunday.
They had a whole season mapped out, which of course has been, flattened due to COVID. But they did manage one show and somebody had the good sense to film it pretty well. There were a little bit of camera shakies and, head got in the way and so forth. But it did very well. And it's just wonderful.
It is a fun operetta. And they messed with the script a little bit. Yeah. The captain comes out and they said, how fare you, captain? He said, very well. I got a negative COVID test. Yeah. And yeah. So, ha ha ha.
And the doddering admiral says that he wants to make America Great Britain again.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of room to breathe in comic opera where you can fiddle with things. And it was just thoroughly enjoyable. And Gilbert and Sullivan is infectious. There's a bit in The West Wing about, you know, two people arguing about who knows Gilbert and Sullivan more and the quote and where it's from. And one of them was the president of my college, Gilbert and Sullivan Society. And how dare you? And it was, I think, John LaRoquette was the guy who was being a little snooty. And it's the one about being British and honor and Navy and all that stuff. And they're all about that. So, and they are virtually all about the same thing. But the wordplay is thoroughly enjoyable for a writer to sit and listen to the way the sentences are constructed.
Mm-hmm.
The way they just fire on all cylinders all the time.
And that is one thing to be grateful for it's hard to be grateful during a pandemic, but as I've said before, I am very grateful for streaming services and for opportunities like this for performers to be able to do what they love and share it with others this way. And, you know, I don't believe corporate America was ever going to accept remote work.
No.
Without being forced to do it.
Oh, no. And
so
there, you know, back when I was working for the city of Chicago, well before that, there are places where it's just impractical to do remote work. Teaching.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Teaching very extensive hands-on. Here's the model. Here's how it works. Come over here.
Right.
We're going to.
Right.
I used to, for my classes, I would take an old IBM PS2 and just tear it apart with the class. You know, here's how you take the back off. And here's what a disk looks like. And here's a floppy disk. And we're going to tear it apart. And here's how they work piece by piece. That is nearly impossible to do remotely. Mm-hmm. But all the other shit I've ever done in my life, pretty much, I could do remotely.
Well, and God bless those people who are in jobs where you have to be there. Doctors, nurses, food service workers, food delivery people, truck drivers, et cetera.
Keeping us alive,
All
that low-grade, unimportant, disrespected,
essential
manual
workers
labor.
Who deserve to be paid for essential work. Yeah.
Yep, they sure as hell do.
Well, let's talk about a bunch of stuff today, Driftglass.
Yes.
And I didn't sort this right. I know I'm looking at our notes and I really didn't sort our notes very well.
Oh, no.
But let's start with Biden announcing that he's going to put a black woman on the Supreme Court.
Sure.
And how that is making the right lose their damn minds.
Well, right. And a lot of our allies in the center, honey. A lot of the people who really want Biden to succeed, but just can't tolerate this whole idea. This is the Bill Kristol, Charlie Sykes.
Yeah.
Why did he have to say that shit out loud?
Mm-hmm. Why does he have to live up to a campaign promise, you mean?
Well, no, they're like, God, these guys are so fucking awful. I mean, so I don't object to putting a black woman on the court. Just, you don't say that out loud. You don't tell people you're going to do it. Like, first of all, maybe that's in some the problem with your entire fucking outlook is that you were always cool with the Nazi shit. You just don't want to say Nazi shit. You don't want to say fascist shit. You were cool with the racist. Just don't say racist stuff.
But this is when, Driftglass, it wakes me up.
Yeah.
Because these are the times that I realize, this is what black activists mean by white people need to do anti-racism work rather than just not be a racist.
Absolutely. Yep. Yep.
And so when Mitch McConnell says he doesn't know if he has a black woman on his staff, but he knows for sure he doesn't have a hiring quota.
Yeah.
Someone on Twitter said, boy, not knowing the faces of your own staff is a pretty smart move there, Mitch.
Well, it's hard to see color from 1860, which is where he lives. You know. Because if you'll notice, all the photographs from the era are all sepia tone and black and white. So,
well, and the argument that we have heard on Fox, Newsmax, OAN, etc. Look, they only represent 7% of the legal profession. So why should they have an entire Supreme Court seat?
Yes. And everyone knows that George Everyone knows George H.W. Bush put an unqualified hack like Clarence Thomas on the court to say, fuck you to liberals. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find some stooge black guy who's mm-hmm. willing to sit in Antonin Scalia's back pocket for 20 fucking years and do as he's told. And then I can say, see, put a black guy on the court. Trump that bitch. That was the good Bush. That was the honorable Bush. And Ronald Reagan promising to put a woman on the court and then doing it. And I've heard that raised at least a couple of times. You know, liberals are going to say, of course, Ronald Reagan did it. And then you just hear the sort of frantic hand waving in the background. But remembering the past is off the books. We don't do that here. But Biden shouldn't have said it. He shouldn't have said it out loud. You know, and I'm like, yeah, he should have. And yeah, he did. And yeah, he kept his campaign promise. And now he can go to his base.
And again, he knows the Democratic base. And he also knows how right-wing media will behave.
Sure.
And out themselves to, and you say to whom?
To whom?
But it is to low information or non-political people who then look at that and go, oh my God, that's so fucking racist. I don't want to be associated with that.
Yeah. Or their kids. I'm hoping that some of the low information voters, as we will call them, because there are a whole lot of other things that I could call them, but we'll just call them that. That their kids are slightly bright enough to say, come on, Dad, you can see what's going on here, right? I mean, these are racists. You're not going to vote for a racist, are you? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Come on, Mom. Right. You know that. Well, I don't know. You know, inflation's up. I've got milk costs another 20 cents this month.
What about the border? I know it's racist, but what about the border?
You know, I'm sitting here at home. You know, I'm a normal person such as yourself. And I'm at home balancing my checkbook, going through my coupons, got my S&H green stamps out, looking to save a few dollars. And I look on the one side, I see racist, fascist lunatics who want to destroy America. But on the other side, I see people who raise the price of milk about 20 cents. And I go, how am I supposed to decide? Who will tell me what to do? And I go, thank God for Dr. Oz, because he's got a good head on his shoulders and he'll tell me what to think. Like, fuck you. Fuck. If you haven't figured out that one party is trying to gut this country and the other one, just whatever you think of them isn't. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Yeah. You are either on their side or you have made a profession. You made a virtue out of being completely fucking head up your ass ignorant.
I don't like Driftglass's tone, however.
They don't. I just drove three more of those reasonable centrists into the arms of Ron DeSantis. Oh, my God. You know, would that it were true, honey. Would that we had that kind of power, which is why.
Driftglass, I would like you to explain to me.
Yes.
What you mean by the term shelter culture? Because you've been talking about this on your blog this week.
Yes, I have. I trademarked it last week on this podcast.
Oh, like dumpster fire.
Yes.
We'll see how far that gets you.
I have fucking trademarked everything I've said in the last 5 years. I just TM everything. I wanted to call it, as you might recall, cultured pearl clutching culture, which I like, but it doesn't exactly trip off the tongue. And I wanted to call it cloister culture, but too many people have no idea what cloister means. Is that a lady thing? Do ladies have that? Should I know about that? I'm like, you know what? Look it up. So shelter culture it shall be, because shelter is the opposite of cancel. In this regard, it is, there have been on the podcast I listen to, which are, you know, allies and centrists and a bunch of liberals too. But the people who are supposed to be on our side, who are having a real hard time doing that. They're just a fucking obsessed with cancel culture because it's on both sides. It's terrible, terrible, terrible on both sides. I listened to Joe Walsh talk to Elie Mystal this week, which was kind of amazing. But Joe Walsh is just furious that both sides, both sides, both sides. And Barry Weiss is all furious about artists attacking artists and both sides, both sides. And I'm sure I got myself in trouble because she was pissed off that, you know, Neil Young wants to cancel Joe Rogan. And that's authoritarianism from the bottom up. And artists shouldn't be attacking artists. Because that's just crazy. And I said, yeah, you mean like when the Cannes Film Festival wouldn't show Leni Riefenstahl's films?
Yeah, you there like you
that?
Go.
Oh, you mean like that? I'm sure that didn't earn me any points in her book. And then when Leni Riefenstahl came to Hollywood and asked her friends who had fled the Nazi regime for work, they canceled her.
Oh.
Wasn't that cruel of them? Because according to Barry Weiss, you should never, ever judge anyone about anything. And everyone's opinion is equal on all matters, except for hers. because she gets to have her own, you know, column in the New York Times and
she's just dumb.
Well, and I actually brought her into a conversation about Andrew Sullivan. I brought up this week, which is Andrew Sullivan said, you know, an amazingly stupid thing about anti-Semitism.
Did he say equate it with anti-whiteness?
Yes, it's you know, the worst. It's a form of anti-white. Oh, sure, it's bad on the right, but it's also bad on the left, because both sides. I you know, anyone who thought both sides had died when the Trump meteor hit it is a fool. It mm-hmm. is absolutely back in fashion. It is absolutely it's out there addiction. All the time.
It is an addiction.
Yeah. And I pointed out that Andrew Sullivan and Glenn Greenwald and Matt Taibbi and those folks are like the Waxworks characters in Sunset Boulevard. They're fading, irrelevant, silent screen stars who are hanging on to their fame by any means necessary, by fighting over their little piece of, on Bill Maher too, by their little slice of contrarian asshole real estate. Mm-hmm. That's all mm-hmm. they have. And they bring in Barry Weiss as sort of the young hack writer to, you know, lend a little youth to their tired tomb of former glories. And so she's perfectly willing to be the Joe in that group, the young writer who comes in and sort of livens the place up, but livens it up with this weird, creepy, sour energy. And the reason I brought her into it is because she is a cancel culture hysteric.
She also appears on Bill Maher, like you say, to liven up the place. Yeah,
that's the only reason she's there. It's not mm-hmm. she has no opinions that are worth a goddamn thing, and she has risen to wherever the hell she is based on privilege and connections alone. She is unqualified for almost everything she does. She's like Meghan McCain in that way, you know, without the daddy. And no one can figure out how she got where she is or why people pay attention to her. But she's famous for being a contrarian asshole, as most of them are. So, but shelter culture is the opposite of cancel culture. Shelter culture is when you have an entire corporate ecosystem devoted to protecting people who should definitely not have a job.
Ah.
And it was all over the place this week. I counted four. I probably undercounted. You want me to go through the list?
Sure.
Top of the list this week was Stephen Hayes. Stephen F. Hayes. There's a lot of Stephen Hayes.
He's the one that
out
quit
there.
Fox, right?
Yes. He boldly quit Fox after he discovered it was full of fascists.
Because of Tucker Carlson's Leni Riefenstahl movie.
Right.
About right. January 6th.
About
right?
January 6th. Yeah. Now, Stephen Hayes, the top line of his resume for the rest of his life is going to read the book he wrote, entitled The Connection, How Al-Qaeda's Collaboration with Saddam Hussein Has Endangered America. And it was Stephen Hayes's Weekly Standard shit that Dick Cheney kept referring to as the best argument for why Saddam Hussein was secretly in alliance with Osama bin Laden. And Stephen Hayes was one of the main intellectual architects of the Iraq War. And the only other book he ever wrote in his life was a biography of Dick fucking Cheney. So that's his resume. And then that was when he was at the Weekly Standard, where he became, he's been on the Meet the Press and Diane Rehm Show and Fox News, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So he was bumped to editor-in-chief of the Weekly Standard after bloody Bill Kristol became editor-at-large and went off to lie on ABC News because they decided it was a good idea to hire that liar over there. And when the Weekly Standard gig was shuttered by the magazine's owners because all their readers were Trump heads and they left, Stephen Hayes went off to do good works, cleaning bedpans at Bethesda Naval Hospital.
No, he didn't.
I'm just kidding.
He went to work at Fox.
He went to work at Fox and worked there happily, gainfully employed by the capital of wingnut propaganda right up until 5 minutes ago when he said, you know, it's getting pretty bad here. And he left.
And was upheld as a tremendously morally courageous person of moral courage.
Right. Fun fact: while he was editor in chief at the Weekly Standard, one of his employees was a guy named Tucker Carlson.
So, I didn't know that. Oh my god!
And half the staff of the Bulwark used to work at the Weekly Standard, and it's an incredibly small world of people.
Well, I thought the Bulwark was created to help all of those Weekly Standard people gain soft landing.
It absolutely
I thought that was the point.
It absolutely was. That's exactly what it was. They ported a whole bunch of people right over to it, got a bunch of millionaires to front them the money, and got, you know, leaned on MSNBC and became basically part-time annex of the MSNBC empire. Mm-hmm. And suddenly these, you know, extremely recently former Republicans were out there speaking for the resistance.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they made the turn, which was, and of course, the left is bad too, which has always been the fucking plan. And so what does a guy with that kind of resume get after he walks off of Fox? Well, the answer is he now reports to NBC News. Mm-hmm. NBC News has hired him. That's number one. Number two, Mr. Steve Schmidt, another Steve, who has tripped over his own dick and publicly set fire to his own career more times than I can count. Failed. He's very eloquent, and then he goes to work for Howard Schultz and throws all of his morals out the window. Then he comes back, then he sets fire to his own podcast, and then he comes back. And no matter how many times he has failed, Nicole Wallace, his old running buddy from the Bush regime days, has a beachhead at MSNBC. And so, Steve Schmidt, looking forward to joining Nicole Wallace and Deadline White House crew on MSNBC in the next hour. He was on a couple days ago. He was on again, I believe, yesterday. Because, you know, there's no...
Because he's good at filling the time between commercials.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people who are good at that. He's good at being Nicole Wallace's friend from the Bush days.
Sure.
And that is the only fucking reason he's there.
Well, they survived Sarah Palin together. So
they created Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
And
well,
then they
preserved her on the ticket by making her not shit on the stage.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's what it was. Shitting on the stage with who? Joe Biden. Can I call you Joe? Okay.
Which brings us to Matthew Dowd. and regular readers.
There's something about all of these pale,
very pale
penis owners that I'm trying to put my finger on.
Yes. Don't finger their pale penises, honey.
No, I will not.
No. It might catch. You might whatever they've got,
saying,
it might be catching.
I'm just saying there's something that these individuals have in common. A couple things that they have in common that they've had since birth.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were only conservative when they hit like the age of 10. Mm-hmm. But they had that other attribute since the day they were born. And as a lot of readers of my blog know, that I have recorded the fundamental ridiculousness of Matthew Dowd for years now. Mm-hmm. Matthew Dowd told my readers that they were stupid. He called me stupid personally. He attacked me on social media, that he blocked me. Then he was Mr. Both Sides Do It, Mr. Both Sides Do It. Then it was, why? Who the fuck believes this crazy both side shit? Then he ran for governor or lieutenant governor and failed at that. And then he decided, when people started asking questions about his crazy shit he was saying during the 2016 campaign, when he was not a private citizen, when he was working for ABC News, he nuked his entire Twitter archive and then said, why are you asking me questions about the past? Let's look to the future. And I wrote about 10 months ago, 9-10 months ago, one of my many, many posts about Matthew Dowd, that Matthew Dowd, a series of miraculous conversions in which Matthew Dowd is always turning the corner and discovering some new facet that just happens to be the direction the wind is blowing that day. Mm-hmm. He doesn't believe in anything. He is a morally hollow person who loves to quote the Bible and will just basically go wherever the gig is. And 9 months ago, I said, Matthew Dowd is auditioning for a permanent gig on MSNBC. I said it like two or three times, because even back then it was clear that Bush regime dead enders have made a safe space for each other at the MSNBC network. Mm-hmm. And so yesterday on Ad Week, the magazine, they announced Matthew Dowd has joined MSNBC as a contributor and political analyst. Mm-hmm. Because of course he has. So that's...
And as one of our listeners points out constantly on Twitter, MSNBC is not your friend.
No, it's not your friend at all. Well, and then suddenly MSNBC found they had an extra hour in the morning when they moved Stephanie Ruhle around. Mm-hmm. And what liberal firebrand did they give that extra hour to?
Joe Scarborough.
Joe fucking Scarborough.
They we gave talked Joe about Scarborough, that last week.
I know.
We
who did. Already has 3 hours, another hour. Because you need to hear from some, you know, failed former Republican Florida congressman who was Trump's fluffer until Trump went after his girlfriend, and suddenly he's the leader of the resistance.
Yeah.
And would very much like you to forget all the shit he said, and will get very angry if you bring up things that happened, you know, prior to 2016. Give him an extra hour. And that's four. Four of these assholes have all been rewarded because they are part of shelter culture. They're part of the culture that no matter how badly you fail, no matter how many times you lie, no matter how many times you fuck up, no matter how insulting you are, no matter how wrong you are, no matter how many monsters you've worked for, we're going to keep employing you because you're a member of the fucking club. And mm-hmm. that cannot mm-hmm. be changed from the outside. The mainstream media is never going to change because the mainstream media doesn't want to change. It likes it this way. They're happy doing this or they would stop doing it. So the next time someone beefs about Chuck Todd, I'll agree with them. But remember, before Chuck Todd, it was David Gregory. Mm-hmm. And after Chuck Todd, it'll be some equally incompetent hack because that's the way NBC wants it. And that's what shelter culture is, which nobody talks about. People do talk about cancel culture an awful lot, but never shelter culture, except if you're a liberal.
You want to talk about Jeff Zucker for a minute?
Yeah, Jeff Zucker quit his job.
Well, I guess and I guess the story this morning was, I want to stay until this particular merger is over. I want to stay until such and such is over. I want to stay. Nope, you're leaving today.
Yeah.
Or we're firing you.
Yeah. I want to leave my dick in for a minute longer. No.
Nope.
You can't. You can't. Yeah. Jeff Zucker, who was, the guy who made Donald Trump famous.
Mm-hmm.
A great friend of Donald Trump. Man who promoted him. The man who relentlessly employed absolute right-wing lunatics and liars and scumbags like Kayleigh McEnany and Jeffrey Lord on CNN and Rick Santorum just kept showing up on CNN. And Corey Lewandowski had a revolving deal between the Trump campaign and CNN. And people on the outside of the media kept screaming, why do you keep putting these black armband, brown shirt douchebags mm-hmm. on the air to lie for this lunatic?
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff Zucker would just basically wave his dick in your face and say, fuck you. I run everything. Right. I don't have to listen to a goddamn thing you say. Now, was he fired for the fact that
my business model is, as you've said many times, put red ants and black ants in a jar and shake it up and have controversy and conflict.
Right.
And except that's news. That's how I do the news.
Except the red ants are fascists.
And the red ants lie and are fascists. Yep. Right.
And we're not going to correct them. And we want people yelling at each other all day long.
Right. Right.
And of course, the marketplace will never correct a Jeff Zucker for being a scumbag who does things like that ever. That's the job. That mm-hmm. is the job. They will, however, toss his ass out if he puts his penis in the wrong place, which is apparently what he did. There were some sexual shenanigans with a coworker that got dredged.
With an employee, with someone who reported to him.
Who reported to him.
Yeah.
That got dredged up during the sexual shenanigans of the Cuomo family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And who are also CNN employees, practically, and in one case, definitely.
Yep.
Yeah, the Cuomo bomb went off, as well it should, and apparently enough of the ripple effects caught up with Jeff Zucker that he's going to have to go out and find another work. Now, is he going to stay unemployed for terribly long? Of course not. At that point, when you've reached a certain point in that business, it doesn't matter what you did. It matters who's going to return your phone calls.
Because there's shelter culture that keeps them safe.
Yeah. They will keep them safe. And if they lose their job, as happened to Steve Schmidt like three different times, someone will always find him and bring him back and put him on a couch and give him a paycheck. Mm-hmm. Because that's the mm-hmm. deal. That is the deal. And when these people open their pie hole and bitch about being canceled and cancel culture and how unfair it is, that they really do believe, and they have every reason to believe. That's the problem. They have every reason to believe that they have a natural God-given constitutional right to full employment at a high-paying media job until they drag them out of their toes first.
Yeah.
And they do. They do. Yeah. There's no getting rid of these people because there's no market incentive to get rid of them.
Well, Interclass, one person who is very honest about media because she's been through it and come through it with her soul intact is Soledad O'Brien.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Love her.
And she's been following on Twitter. She's been watching Brian Stelter, whine and moan over this terrible disruption to CNN's employee culture.
Sad.
It was such a shock, even though everybody knew.
Yeah.
It's a very open secret that, by the way, the employee in question is named Allie Golust, which we realized was right out of, Ivana Humpalot from the
Austin Powers
movies, right? Mm-hmm. Soldat O'Brien retweeted Brian Stelter, and Brian Stelter tweeted, "Upon learning of Zucker's exit, many CNN staffers felt, as Dana Bash said, during a tense DC bureau meeting with Warner Media CEO Jason Kilar, that, quote, the punishment didn't fit the crime."
Yeah.
And Soldat O'Brien said, "Why do the basic rules of corporate governance apply to the people I like?"
I know. It's so unfair. And honestly, I would like a retroactive redo on all the jobs I've ever lost. Because I didn't know until the cancel culture hysterics showed up that I had a constitutional right to any job I want, whenever I want, that I was entitled to keep any job that I had, no matter how shabbily I did it.
And
I
should never be fired. In that club, Driftglass.
Oh, well, there's the problem. And I should, but that's the part where that's why they don't allow liberals near the microphone, because this only applies to people like Barry Weiss. It only applies to Jeff Zucker. Everyone else in the fucking universe knows what it's like to live and work in an at will
employment.
Culture.
Right. Yeah.
Everybody
right.
knows that. Everybody knows. Almost everybody's had at least one, often several, monster asshole bosses who treated women like objects and got away with it, and shit on employees and got away with it, and hired their buddies who didn't do anything but drink and tell dirty jokes and got away with it.
Well, and people have showed up for work one day and the whole business is shuttered.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, life just happens that way, and there's no recovering from, you know, you don't get to get severance.
No,
if you just shut down, it's gone. Yeah. That's happened to one of our kids. The restaurant just, there's a sign on the door the next day when you show up for work, you know, nothing.
Well, I've told the story before. I've had an entire career shot out from under me.
Right.
By a handful of asshole Baptist consultants from Texas.
Yep.
Who
yep.
came to the insurance yep. company I worked for and destroyed the place.
Yeah.
Ate on their purpose. Way through it.
Yep.
Privileged a bunch of people who were incompetent so they could keep their job, got the permission of the bosses, of the president of the company, to rewrite everyone's job description, and looted the place.
Right, right.
And anyone stood in their way got tossed out the door. I had no idea that I had a right to the job they fired me from, even though they fired me for really evil reasons to get me out of the way.
Right.
And the myopia of these people who really believe the whole rest of the world is a wonderland of fairness and justice.
Yeah.
And they're being picked on because they didn't get an op-ed column in the Washington Post, or someone said, "I'm sorry, we do country music now. You can't have the radio gig anymore."
Right.
And they go on some rant. They go on some tear about their rights being taken away from them. And I don't
free
even
speech,
know.
Driftglass, it's free speech.
That's right. Spotify is not the fucking government. It's a platform, and they get to do whatever they want.
And,
I learned that about
and
Twitter
this is what,
last
this
year.
Is, if we're going to talk about Spotify for a minute, I got to go off on a tangent on that.
Please
because
do.
I was forced by my old phone to get a new phone this week. And my old phone was a Galaxy S6 active phone, which is about, 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a car. It was paid for. And I don't care if it had a little rust and was a little slow and didn't do FaceTime and whatever. The purpose of it was to have one in the car in case there was an emergency.
Right.
And it was paid for, and that's it. But it died, and, the battery just would not charge, and getting it fixed was going to cost more than it was worth. Actually, when I tried to trade it in, they offered me $5 for it.
$5.
$5. Mm-hmm. So I told my daughters, my son doesn't care one way or the other, but my daughters are very phone-centric in their lives. I told my daughters, I think my phone's dead. I think I have to get a new one. And they were just like, "Mom, you have to get an iPhone. I'm sorry. We're not tolerating this anymore." So found a very good deal, got an iPhone, and proceeded to load everything on it and realized I had Spotify on my old phone. I know. So I talked it over with the girls to find out whether they were using that app or was anything happening. And they said, we had a long discussion about Joe Rogan and how little Spotify pays for music to musicians, but they gave Joe Rogan this huge amount of money. And it's clear that any money we spend on Spotify or any time we spend on Spotify is really benefiting no one but Joe Rogan. So we deleted that. And
so you canceled Joe Rogan.
Canceled. See, canceled.
You bastards.
I'm a cancel culture person.
I don't even know you.
I know. Seriously. But having that discussion with them and looking at the things that Joe Rogan, I mean, he's a shock jock. That's what he is. And he's it's exactly what Howard Stern used to be, you know, exactly the same. But talking with them about that and some of the things Joe Rogan has said about race in particular, and the girls just were immediately like, oh, that's it. Yep. You know, it reminds me of what you said, that the kids finally say, you know, that's racist shit. Let's
let's go.
Disassociate ourselves with that. But as I've been saying on Twitter frequently lately, this idea that money is speech and money becomes the only speech works both ways.
Yes, it
and
sure
we're
does.
Finally realizing that, both with strikes and boycotts and other types of activism, and hopefully with our vote as well, that you know, we can hurt you back. The public can hurt you back.
Yes. And that is something every time it happens, every time the free market and organized protest, which are the most democratic thing you can imagine, people organizing to protest an injustice in their society, peacefully using the tools the market has available for them. Right. Every time that happens to someone the right loves, they lose their fucking minds. Mm-hmm. And they start talking about, they're coming for you. This is Donald Trump's whole thing. They're coming for you. They're not coming for me. They're coming for you. Mm-hmm. And the idea that you would use the free market to tell a corporation to stop doing some heinous shit is somehow beyond the pale. Because once again, these people really do believe down in their bones, they have an absolute, they're absolutely better than you are. Yeah. They are a superior species and they deserve everything they have and they've earned everything they have and everything that came to them is inviolate. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you disagree with the fact that, that anyone has a right to this shit, that you are an employee, you are responding to the marketplace. And if I want to use those marketplace tools to inflict a little pain on someone who is doing horrible things, that's how the system works.
Yeah.
That's what you wanted. You wanted people to use their free speech in a free market to achieve their ends, except when it's you. And then you freak out and start screaming about cancel culture and bottom-up authoritarianism because you've never known anything but privilege in your pasty, white, little, cloistered life. And your mommy told you you were the most special little bundle in the world, and you believed it.
Yep.
You are not Baby Yoda, okay? You're not cute. People don't like you, and you don't have any special magical powers. So I don't know who told you that, but you're not, and you don't. So be quiet.
Yep. I wanted to also point out that Jeff Zucker's real crime was putting people like Corey Lewandowski and Jeffrey Lorne on television.
Yeah, it really was.
For years.
Yeah. And never being ever giving a shit about that. Never caring about the damage he was doing at all. Not one minute. Never.
Yeah. Jeffrey Lorne in particular. Jeffrey Lorne was, I'm reading from Crooks and Liars, where Jeffrey Lorne received the 2017 Crooky Award. Lorne was responsible for advancing the lies that Democrats were the real racists, that Donald Trump was the Martin Luther King of healthcare. Roger Stone is the ultimate patriot and on, saying the most outrageous things to get drama onto CNN.
Right.
And that was his purpose. But I was so impressed, Driftglass, with you last night because we were talking about mentioning Jeffrey Lorne on the show today. And you said, well, you know, he's probably on Newsmax or OAN now.
Yeah.
He's been fired from CNN and he's not on MSNBC yet. And he's not on Fox, so he's probably on OAN or Newsmax. And I went and looked him up, and sure enough, he's on OAN.
Yeah,
he's a paid contributor to OAN.
It's a small world with a lot of open seats and a shit ton of money
for a certain type of person. Yeah. Right, right.
And who will always, and that is something we just have to understand. When you see someone disappear, when you see Bill Kristol disappear from Fox News, which he did, you know he's going to show up at ABC.
Right.
You know it. There's just there is a club. There is a circle jerk club who all protect each other. And so when you see Bill Kristol's idiot son-in-law, Matthew Continetti, disappear because he went down the Trump rabbit hole. Just count to 10 and he'll show up on Meet the Press, which is exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is shelter culture at work all day, every
shelter
day.
Shelter culture.
Yep.
Well, and then you said, and I'm sure he has a book out.
Oh, yeah.
And he doesn't have a book out. He had a book out in 2019, but I went and looked up his publisher because I always love to see who publishes this crap.
Yeah.
And it is a conservative division of Simon & Schuster, who also, in addition to publishing Jeffrey Lord's book, publishes Lauren Boebert and Laura Loomer. And you said we should have a new fake sponsor, Driftglass.
Yes.
Whore books.
Whore books. You know, there is Tor books, just so you know.
Yeah, this is Whore books.
It's a small division of HarperCollins. It's not actually in the building. It's on the corner
They don't have offices in Manhattan. They have just a corner.
It's an alley behind Simon & Schuster or HarperCollins. And you pull up and you say,
and they lift up their skirt and pull out a book by Jeffrey Lord or Laura Loomer and hand it to you for money.
And here's my money. I'd like my book published, please. They go, okay. And would you? And you start telling them the story of your life. I don't want to know. I'm just here to do the transaction. Please don't tell me about Donald Trump is the greater good. I don't want to hear about it. You gave me your money. This is a transaction.
I don't think Core Books is going to want to sponsor this show, Driftglass.
No. Sadly, I think that we're about out of luck.
Yeah, they are. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. And there
Simon
is a market.
Schuster is willing to take money from people who want to buy Jeffrey Lord's book.
Well, this is Mary Madeline went to work. I think
yes,
she went.
Yes, right, right.
And all of these sites, all of these legitimate publishers, again, this is capitalism at work. This is the dark side of capitalism.
There's a market for this crap, and so we're going to get in on it.
They noticed Regnery Press made money.
Right.
Regnery Press made money printing filth by Ann Coulter. They said, well, we can make money. We have printing presses. We can print filth too. People pay for this shit. Are you kidding me? Oh, no. And suddenly every publishing house had its own little conservative brand.
Yeah.
And publishing, you know, Mark Levin and Ann Coulter and the rest of these horrible people for money. Because German industrialists think
it'll never come for them.
On that note,
I just want to point out that back in the day when Donald Trump was saying there are some very fine people on the right in Charlottesville.
Yes, he did.
I made a protest sign that Junior Dude held up that said, when you have to tell the president of the United States that Nazis are bad.
Yeah.
And now we have future Republican presidential candidate Ron DeSantis saying that asking about whether Nazis are whether he agrees with Nazis. That's a gotcha question.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I'm going to get a small soapbox.
Yes.
The reason Ron DeSantis can get away with saying Nazi schmazi, what are you talking about? Is because in the closing hours of the Virginia governor campaign.
Yeah.
And it was razor thin. Mm-hmm. The Lincoln Project decided to do some old-fashioned Rick Wilson, Karl Rove rat fucking and marched a bunch of people in white supremacist costumes out to try to scare people. Mm-hmm. And they got caught doing it.
Right, right.
And they got caught. And the headlines all over Fox News were Democratic staffers. No. These were not Democratic staffers. This was Rick Wilson.
Rick Wilson's idea for rat fucking.
Galaxy brain, electoral genius.
Yeah, right.
Never won a fucking election in the last 15 years. Rick Wilson and his ilk on the Lincoln Project decided they'd stick their big fat noses in the middle of a governor's race when it was razor thin and hand Republican a knife to stab us with from now until the end of time.
Mm-hmm.
This was these assholes. So you know what? All DeSantis had to do was get up and just basically point to Virginia. Go, how do I know this wasn't the Lincoln Project doing this?
Right.
So Democratic staffers doing this.
Thank you, Rick Wilson, all the time. Yeah,
because Rick Wilson doesn't know how to fucking win with Democrats. He knows what works with racist asshole Republicans because he thinks like a racist asshole Republican. Anyway,
and racist asshole Republicans will never ask if it's a gotcha.
No.
Yeah.
No, he knows how to fire up a mob of morons.
Right.
That doesn't work on the left.
Speaking of the left, Driftglass, WinRed. I want to talk just for a second about WinRed because WinRed lost this week in court. They were trying to sue. Can you imagine?
This
comes right out of Trump's playbook.
Explain
WinRed. Sue the prosecutor.
Explain who WinRed is. Yeah.
Yeah, well, WinRed is supposedly the flip side of Act Blue. It is the Republican online fundraising platform.
Right.
However, there's, as I've said before, there are major differences between WinRed and Act Blue. The most glaring of which is that WinRed is a for-profit company that skims money off the top of every donation sent to a Republican campaign. We know nothing about their particular financial relationship with Donald Trump in terms of using the Donald Trump name for fundraising for other candidates, et cetera. We do know that Jared Kushner was very hyped up about requiring Republican campaigns to use WinRed for fundraising.
Yep. In the same way they wanted to require people using Trump properties and hotels to stay at.
For campaign activities.
Yeah.
Correct. Which leads me to think that Trump is in on it. Because if you're not raising money with WinRed, Trump is not going to endorse you. And so there are four attorneys general from around the country who are now investigating WinRed for their the checkbox scandal, where there was this little hidden checkbox on particularly Trump campaign donations.
Right.
That if you didn't check it, they would charge you monthly for your donations.
Yeah,
so if you gave $25, they were going to take it weekly or monthly. And the Trump campaign, as a result of that, got a huge infusion of cash in October of 2020 when they were going broke and, got loaned free money from people's credit cards who didn't see it until after the November election. And then a great many people saw that they'd been charged $100 weekly for 5 weeks and called and canceled it. Well, the Trump campaign had to pay that money back, quote unquote. But they didn't pay back the fees that WinRed accrued. Those had to come from the campaign. And that's the problem that a lot of Republicans, I believe, will have that are running House races and so forth. If they're raising money with WinRed and expecting Donald Trump to endorse them, if anything goes wrong where a, you know, donor decides, no, I want a refund, the campaign has to pay the WinRed fees on that refund. So they're just scraping money off the top, coming and going. And it's very corrupt.
Yes. Needless to say, it is very corrupt.
Very corrupt. So these four, they're all Democrats, four attorneys general from different states are investigating this. And so WinRed, very Trumpian, tried to sue these four attorney generals and say, you know, this is politically motivated and we want to stop you from subpoenaing any information about our company. And the federal judge tossed it out this week and said, no, they get to investigate this because what they are investigating is fraud.
Right.
Consumer fraud, plain and simple. They're not investigating you. They're investigating consumer fraud using credit cards on the internet.
But what about Act Blue, huh? What about them, huh?
Well, that's the money quote from, this was written up by Shane Goldmacher at the New York Times. And he wrote, WinRed has argued that the attorneys general, all Democrats, are politically motivated. However, the four attorneys general also sent a similar request for documents last year to Act Blue, the leading Democratic donation processing platform. Act Blue said on Wednesday that it had also received a subpoena and that it had shared the requested information.
Sure, here.
Because they don't screw their donors.
They have nothing to hide. Right, yeah, go ahead.
And it is, if you haven't, I hope everyone here has donated to a local or Senate campaign or House campaign through Act Blue at some time or another.
Yes, yes.
I expect most of our listeners have.
Yes.
If you have, you know that when you donate, it asks you at the end, would you like to give 10% of your donation? Would you like to add to your donation? Because all of the money you donate goes to the campaign.
Right.
Would you like to bump it up 10% and add that to support the activities of Act Blue?
Yeah. Yeah,
so that they are accepting money
sure
to run their operation.
Yeah.
but they are not a for profit, and they are not doing it off the top of the campaign that they are raising money for.
Right.
They're it's not just stealing it.
Right. Well, and what you don't see is at the very bottom of those screens is the hidden checkbox about donating money to the professional left.
There is no hidden checkbox.
No. Oh, that explains a lot, Blue Gal. That explains a whole lot.
I hadn't thought about that. That's a great idea.
I know. Well, until that Soros money comes through, we're going to have to.
There's no Soros money.
No, I keep hearing there's no Soros money. I keep waiting for the Soros
money.
We have
our own Soroses who give anywhere from X to Y, and we're so grateful.
Incredibly grateful. Incredibly grateful.
Yeah.
Now.
Drift Glass, talk to me. You get. What is this? In our notes, it says, you say you miss the comforting toxic myopia of 2010 David Brooks brand false equivalence. Brother, have I got a podcast for you?
I do. I've discovered this podcast.
Oh,
it's
my gosh.
Amazing. It's called The Bulwark. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I thought you were going to give us something new.
Well, it feels new to me. Because a year ago, there's a guy named Will Salatan, who we've talked about before, who worked for Slate, who was clearly sucking up to the centrist and recommending people go read Bulwark. The Bulwark's great. The Bulwark's wonderful. And I thought, well, he's angling for a mention on their podcast. Then he was invited to their podcast. Like, that's great. Okay. Paid off. Good for you, Will. Use your one gig to get another. That's great. Always dress for the job you want to have, not the job you have now. That's my advice. So Will Salatin has been dressing to become a member of the Bulwark staff. And you know what? This week he did, which we also mentioned. The good people at the Bulwark hired Will Salatin.
No, not just a guest. He's now on staff.
Paid employee, and his farewell column in the Slate and his first podcast with the Bulwark is entitled, "We Are Too Politically Segregated." And it has, you know, I want to do Bill Hader going, and it has everything. It has everything. Everything you want. Do you want the extremes on both sides? It has that. Do you want to know about the crazy opinions that are on Fox News and at MSNBC? It has that. Everything would work out great if everyone would stop being so judgmental. It has that. Everyone on both sides should stop assuming that people who disagree with them are acting in bad faith. Definitely has that. You should definitely trust experts, except when you shouldn't. It has that too. History began in 2016, and anyone who brings up the past is being an enabling asshole. It has that too. It has all the horrible shit you want, and it gives Charlie Sykes a chance to unwind his favorite talking point.
I thought you said it was going to give Charlie Sykes a chubby. But
oh, it did.
No.
Oh, it did. And I wrote about this on my little blog, my snowbound little blog. In which I actually listen to these guys and I pull quotes from the podcast and I interleave it with my own comments. But you know, when Will Salatin, you should always hire someone who believes, who will tell their employer that they believe everything they've ever said and that they're brilliant. Mm-hmm. And Will Salatin believes everything that Charlie Sykes says and thinks he's so smart. So Charlie Sykes got to lean back and say, you know, I've made this point over and over and over again without much success, I think, but it's hard to overstate. And I say, actually, it's not, because you overstate it every time you make the same stupid fucking point. But please go ahead. The difficulty of saying Donald Trump, he's the real thing. You really ought to be alarmed about him. When for decades, every Republican was accused of being a racist. At a certain point, people just rolled their shoulder. They rolled their eyes. And when the real thing came, when the real wolf came to the door, people thought, you know, we've heard this. We've heard this over and over again. Basically, once again, liberals are to blame for crying wolf when Republicans never did racism before Donald Trump. They had no racism in their party. But we liberals said
Ronald
racist.
Reagan went to Philadelphia, Mississippi.
Oh, yeah. I made a long list in my podcast on my post. Because I said Donald Trump spoke to them in their own language.
Absolutely.
And where did they learn that language? They learned it from Strom Thurmond and Jesse Helms.
And Fox. Yeah.
They learned it from Jerry Falwell and Rush Limbaugh. They learned it. It was the language of the Confederacy. It was the language of Willie Horton-Ads. It was the language of Reagan's speech in Philadelphia, Mississippi. It was the language of welfare queens. It was the language of send the Kenyan commie back to Africa Tea Party. It was the language of the Birchers and Nixon's Southern strategy. It's the language of your fucking party, Charlie, because if you weren't a racist, you were really cool with having a lot of racists in your party, and you mm-hmm. were willing to spend 30 years looking the other way and lying to yourself and lying to your audience until it bit you in the ass. And then it bit you in the ass and the party spit you out, and you turn around and say, you know who's to blame for all this? You know who? Liberals. Mm-hmm. Liberals mm-hmm. are blame. They did it. They made me so numb to racism by pointing out the racism of the Republican Party that when racism came, I didn't recognize it as racism. So really, aren't liberals really to blame for Donald Trump? Yeah,
Driftglass, I also think that this is a setup. Mm-hmm. Charlie Sykes is setting up the pitcher's mound.
Oh, sure.
To
sure.
pitch a, this was all Trump's fault.
Of
and the Republican Party is perfectly legitimate. And now that Trumpism is over, we mm-hmm. can move on and win elections and serve in office and forget all about. This is the lifeboat.
Well, and this comports perfectly with every episode of these guys' podcasts. Mm-hmm. I'm talking Never Trumpers, has a huge section in which they do nothing but bash Democrats.
Yeah.
They're allies. They want us to win, but they want us to win on their terms. Mm-hmm. And he has said repeatedly that Joe Biden needs to make at least four sister soldier speeches
right.
punching the base.
Nope.
And if you listen carefully, you will notice that every time these assholes speak in sweeping ex-cathedra terms about people, the people did this, and the voters did that, and the public wants whatever. And Americans, they're always talking about themselves. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. when Charlie Sykes says, at a certain point, people just roll their eyes, you mean you rolled your eyes. Mm-hmm, you mean mm-hmm. you lied to yourself, or you were okay with it. Mm-hmm. I'm really not sure which, and you're never going to answer that question because you don't want people to hear the answer. You're either incompetent and unqualified to hold an opinion because you ignored a threat in your midst for 30 years when that was your one fucking job, or you accommodated them. You mm-hmm. were okay with it because it kept winning you elections, in which case people shouldn't pay attention to you. That's why you don't want to have conversations with actual liberals. That's why you want to have conversations with Will Salatin, because he will yeah. agree with everything you say and speak on behalf of the left, mm-hmm. who's sick and tired of the extremes on both sides. And that's why both-siderism will never die. And that's why shelter culture will be real forever. End of my little speech.
One last thing to talk about is Facebook.
Yes. Oh, my.
Speaking of things you should delete from your phone.
Well, the headline today.
And, yeah. Well, the headline today is, do you want to talk about the profits or do you want to talk about iOS?
Well, they're going to record a $220 billion loss.
Right. They're losing eyeballs massively.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
But more than that, one of the reasons that Facebook is losing money is that Apple has changed their privacy settings. And I noticed this on my new phone. Not from Facebook, but from every other app I had to download to put on my phone for my work. Apple asks you, do you want this app to be able to trace your activity mm-hmm. in order to provide you with better advertising, provide you with better search results, whatever.
Right. To optimize your experience.
And it's asking you, yes mm-hmm. or no, do you want this? And 62% of Apple users are saying no to Facebook. They mm-hmm. don't want Facebook to be watching every website they look at and stealing that data and selling it to marketers, which right. is Facebook's only profitable product is you.
Right. You are the product.
You are the product, and your data and what you do online is what Facebook steals and sells. And so I know I have asked this several years ago, and I'd like to ask again our listeners who, you know, look at us on Facebook or get the information from Facebook about our podcast. Is it worth it to keep doing that? So I'd like to hear from you. Not the people who don't use Facebook. I understand. I don't use Facebook. I don't have Facebook on my phone. And that's what I recommend, as I said this on Twitter today. Mm-hmm. If you use it, we use Facebook for my knitting guild, for church, for,
podcast.
In addition to that, keeping yeah. in touch with nieces and nephews and looking at baby pictures, right?
Right. That's it.
So I have on my old phone, I took Facebook off of my phone. And when I need it for specific things, I go on my desktop and use it that way. And that's a conscious reason. It's easy to get sucked into a whole bunch of other things on Facebook. Everyone knows that. But I make sure I'm sitting down and typing in Facebook on a desktop so that I'm not just scrolling.
Mm-hmm.
And it is liberating to get it off your phone. I will recommend that.
Well, and you can devote that much addiction space to Wordle now, which is great.
One game a day. Right. There are other options if you need more than one word a day, game a day. But again, Wordle, I think that's why Wordle's so popular, by the way.
Yeah, it's one a day.
You're done with it.
It's fun.
In 5 minutes.
It's fun. It's words.
And it's fun. And
it's a blast.
Get your brain moving. And they sold it to the New York Times, this week.
I heard because they couldn't handle the traffic or it was too big of a whatever. But
no, I think it's because New York Times offered him 7 figures.
Yeah.
And he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
He donated a lot of his profits to charity.
It's such a nice story.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's simple and it's clean and it's makes
but,
me smile.
You know, and a couple people said to me, you know, watch for it to be a subscription only from the New York Times in the future. I don't know. We'll see.
Stop. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Facebook lost a lot of eyeballs because users now have an opt-in choice of not letting them paw through their browser history.
Yeah.
So just be aware of that. And again, if you don't use Facebook and you hate Facebook, you don't need to share that with me. I know.
Yes, believe me.
If you use Facebook to reach us on the podcast, I'd like to know that from you. Let me know. And we'll, you know, I value your listenership and your support of us. So I don't want to delete our podcast from Facebook if people need it and are using it.
Right.
Please let me know. Okay.
But this is, it's a little bit like Amazon Pay back in the day. It just reminds me of, you know, when you build your business on top of a sketchy platform that you don't own and they can change its rules of conduct.
Oh, you mean like when we used to get money from Amazon links?
Amazon, that's right. Amazon.
And
links,
we lost half our podcast income.
Boom, overnight.
In 1 week.
Yeah.
When they decided, we're not going to do podcasts anymore.
Yeah. This was an experiment and it's run its course and we're going to stop doing it.
We're
now.
Done. Yeah.
And we are aware of how fragile the technology platform on which all of this depends is.
Right, right.
But we are as robust as we can be, given that we are two people with two microphones broadcasting from home.
And I do think we, as far as partnering, as much as we can call it that, using the paid services that we use, that we pay for,
right,
with your donations, Buzzsprout is our podcast hosting service. They've been around since the beginning of our podcast. We are one of their oldest customers, and they treat us really, really well.
They do. And we recommend them to anybody.
We recommend Buzzsprout to everybody.
Yep.
And then we've recently, and I would say recently, meaning past year or two, been using Zencastr to record. Right. And we really like their product and their people, too.
We're using it right now.
We're using it right now.
Yes.
It's a way to, we can see each other. And record and have clear audio. And they've recently upgraded their product and we really like it. So,
and the video is impressive too. I mean, I have CGI faked myself to look like Luke Skywalker. And really, you can't tell the difference. You just can't. It's a little
young Luke, you mean?
Young Luke. Well, yeah, young, but not teen Luke. I'm 28 year old Luke. Which I'm very pleased.
This is a Boba Fett reference.
Yes, and we're not going to talk about anything beyond that. It might be a joke. I might be saying a little joke here, but
well, if you've been watching Boba Fett, just know that they're bringing the band back together. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes, they are. They know what cards are the audience wants them to play, and they're playing them.
And they're playing them exactly. All right, Drift Glass. Do you want to do a news roundup?
I'd love to. Let's start with Joe Biden, who's directed the Pentagon to deploy more than 3,000 American troops to Eastern Europe to reinforce NATO allies as Russia continues its military buildup near Ukraine's borders. Junior, do you ask me to mention this? He also asked me to use my influence with the Biden administration to have them send a lot more defensive weapons to Ukraine. So I'll get right on that.
Junior Dude's really worried about Ukraine. He is. And praying for Ukraine, and I am too. Yeah.
He follows it very close. I don't know, 5-6 years ago, the Ukrainian delegation came to Springfield and I took him to go see them at a Citizens Club meeting. And he's fascinated by all things international, all things politics. He is a big democracy advocate. So he feels this very intensely and
personally.
So roughly 2,000 troops will be going to Poland, while another 1,000 already based in Germany will be redeployed to Romania. Quote, "These forces are not going to fight in Ukraine," said John Kirby, who's the Pentagon press secretary. "We are making it clear that we're going to be prepared to defend our NATO allies if it comes to that."
The EPA urged Postmaster General Louis DeJoy, who should be fired, to reconsider his plan to spend up to $11.3 billion on as many as 165,000 new, mostly gas-powered delivery vehicles, citing the damage the polluting vehicles could inflict on the environment and public health. DeJoy oversaw the agency's decision to award the contract and signed off on a plan for limiting just 10% of the new trucks to be electric. The gas-powered trucks are expected average of 8.6 miles per gallon, which is a 0.4 miles per gallon improvement over the current fleet, which is 30 years old and well below the industry standard for new service vehicles.
Yeah, he's just comprehensively awful. And I know people cycle through and go, why does that asshole still have a job? And the answer is the postal board are the people who can fire him. Joe Biden cannot fire the postmaster. It has to be the board, and the board has to have enough people on the board who agree to get rid of him. And that process is apparently glacially slow and depends on replacing people at a pace that makes me incredibly upset. But that's the way the system is set up.
Patience and courage. It's the year of the tiger.
Year of the tiger. Joe Biden has relaunched the White House's Cancer Moonshot Initiative, which aims to reduce the death rate from the disease by 50% over the next 25 years. Biden called the goal ambitious but doable, noting that the death rate has fallen already by 25% in the past 20 years.
My sister's living proof of that. She's had stage 4 bone cancer for years, literally years.
And keeps fighting it off. I mean,
yep. And my dad's dealing with that now too. He's going through chemo and, I'm just, again, grateful for doctors who show up for work and are there to take care of my family.
And if you're the praying sort, keep Blue Gal's dad in your prayers.
Those folks in your prayers. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
A member of the House January 6th committee accused that asshole so-called former president of tampering with witnesses by promising to pardon those involved in the attack if he's reelected in 2024. Absolutely, Representative Pete Aguilar said, when asked if Trump was tampering with witnesses by discussing potential pardons. And I think the question is more for my colleagues on the other side of the aisle. You know where. Where are they? Do they support this? When is enough enough?
And from witness tampering to witness intimidation, retired Army Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman filed a civil lawsuit in federal court accusing Trump Jr., Rudy Giuliani, and two former Trump White House staffers of engaging in an, quote, intentional concerted campaign of unlawful intimidation and retaliation against him for testifying before Congress in 2019.
More than 100 far-right candidates are running for political office as Republicans, according to the Anti-Defamation League. At least a dozen candidates reportedly had explicit connections to white supremacists, anti-government extremists, and members of the far-right Proud Boys.
Joe Manchin, or as his friends call him, President Joe Manchin, called Biden's $2 trillion Build Back Better plan dead. When asked about the legislation, Manchin replied, "What Build Back Better bill? It's dead."
Jeff Zucker quit CNN, as we discussed, over some inappropriate sexual shenanigans that got dredged up by all the extremely inappropriate Cuomo sexual shenanigans. It turns out Jeff Zucker's paramour was Cuomo's former comms director. Don't get me started.
It's such a small world. Really, it is, you know, smaller.
Well, and then you have Tucker Carlson talking about masculinity and how we're tampering with, you know, boisterous masculinity of Jeff Zucker.
Yeah, you look at Tucker Carlson, I'm sure, who wears a bow tie when he showers. And just like these guys,
he's a fuckwad. He is.
But he knows all about, you know, robust masculinity.
Robust masculinity. He thinks about it all the time.
The man who called in the riot police because half a dozen people with tambourines were outside of his house one night. And he felt threatened by them. The Biden boom continues. At least 4 million people have quit or changed jobs in December, down from last month's all-time high, but still near record levels. Job openings totaled nearly 10.9 million in December, more than 4.6 million above the total unemployed level. A lot of jobs out there. A lot of them are, you know, sketchy, shitty jobs. A lot of them are jobs that, you know, you probably wouldn't take, but there's work to be had out there, and labor now has the upper hand for the first time in as long as I can remember.
Yep. Trump was directly involved in plans to use the federal government to seize voting machines in 2020.
He was. Donald Trump called on the January 6th committee to investigate why Pence did not reject the Electoral College votes from several states that Biden won, despite no evidence of widespread fraud that would have changed the election results in any states that Biden won. Trump nonetheless suggested that Pence, quote, could have sent the votes back to various legislators for reassessment after so much fraud and irregularity were found. Now, just pause for a moment and sit with the fact that there are about 60 million people in this country who believe every word of this.
Every word he said, and that he's going to be re-inaugurated.
And that you cannot reach them. They're Mm-mm. beyond hope. They're beyond reason. They will never come back. They will never rejoin the rational human family. And they believe they were robbed in the last election. And they believe they have
within their rights. And they'll change their minds and forget what they said yesterday.
Well, and they believe they were well within their rights to take any action necessary, including right. violence.
And their arms.
To make sure yeah. that yeah. their guy wins next time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Some of the Trump White House documents preserved by the National Archives had been ripped up and then taped back together, despite the Presidential Records Act, which requires the preservation of documents related to a president's official duties. Trump was known for tearing presidential records into pieces and tossing them on the floor.
Yeah. He just was criming
all. He's a baby.
He's a baby. He's a, you know, spoiled, stupid crime boss who mm-hmm. was criming all the time. The EPA will resume enforcing limits on the release of mercury from coal-fired plants. The Trump administration reversed the 2012 mercury and air toxin standards in May of 2020, which were first implemented during the Obama administration, claiming they were, quote, not appropriate and necessary because they were too burdensome to industry.
And I will say that if you read Common Dreams, you see a lot of kvetching about the Biden administration, X, Y, and Z, because Common Dreams is a far left website. I read them every day. And their job is to push Biden to the left. Mm-hmm. And good for them. That's their job.
Yep.
And they had nothing bad to say about this one thing.
No, it's like, oh.
Oh, the EPA is back, baby. Yeah.
Oh, then this must be socialism. That must be true. If Biden did it and Common Dream says it's okay, it's a slippery slope to communism, really.
Trump made it explicitly clear that he would pardon the rioters charged in the connection with the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol if he is elected president in 2024. If I run, give me money, and I win, we will treat these people from January 6th fairly, Trump said during a Saturday rally in Conroe, Texas. We will treat them fairly, and if it requires pardons, we will give them pardons because they are being treated so unfairly.
Mm-hmm. Keep repeating that word fair,
mm-hmm.
and you will hear it coming oozing out of your crazy uncle's mouth
yeah.
All the time.
So unfair.
It's all yeah. so unfair. We Americans believe in fairness, and it's so unfair. You press down one little bit, and you find out what he's talking about is holding insurrectionists accountable for trying to overthrow the U.S. government. Mm-hmm. He thinks doing that is unfair. Where's your tolerance, liberals, now? Huh? Mm-hmm. Why aren't you mm-hmm. tolerant of my fascism? Well— Because we know where that leads, asshole.
Right.
The House committee investigating the January 6th riot at the Capitol issued subpoenas to 14 people who tried to submit false slates of electors as part of an effort to overturn the 2020 election.
And so far, I've seen two videos that they've made in Arizona and Wisconsin. They videotaped themselves yeah. signing these documents. So
you know, every time you laugh at some gangbanger who videotaped themselves vandalizing a car, yeah. remember that these assholes, these largely white, largely middle class, largely dumb as a bag of hammers, criminals, filmed themselves attempting to overthrow an American election because they were proud of it. And they yeah. wanted to show it off to their friends.
By the way, the House committee has said that televised hearings are going to start in April. I sure hope they're going to last 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah, Groundhog Day. That's the time for Groundhog Day. Sorry, six more months yeah. of Watergate trials.
Watergate trials. That's what mm-hmm. we need. Mm-hmm. Yeah. in local news?
Well, in local news, we got a ton of snow over the last 2 days, so we're not going anywhere. Just so you know. Also, we canceled our subscription to our local paper because it was barely a paper anymore, and its editorial policies are terrible. They promote terrible people, and it's, you know, 5 pages long, and it's way overpriced.
Oh, it's $1,000 a year.
Yeah, for now. A twig. Literally, you roll this thing up.
Gatehouse News has to make a profit. This is we are not funding news. We are funding, you know,
hedge
an
fund.
Investment company that wants, that's shredding the place. Yeah.
That has already taken it down about as far as it can go. It can't stand another squeeze. It'll be out of business. Yeah. And half the news comes, there's a regular thing on social media called the Rockford Files, because one of the regular readers says, have you noticed that half the news in the local newspaper in Springfield is from Rockford, Illinois? And it's dumb shit too. It's, you know, dog gets caught on roof.
Which is 3.5 hours away by car.
Yeah. But they don't care. And I actually had a short sidebar with the former editor, also on social media, about the Citizens Advisory Board, which I was a member of. And because people were saying, maybe, you know, if only that group were still in effect. And I said, I was on the very last one, and it was clear that the place was going under. Mm-hmm. It was just empty offices. You know, they'd moved the presses out. They'd moved the reporters out. It was doom spiraling. And it was clear that she was very uncomfortable having to answer questions about the future of the paper and the future of journalism. Why are you so fucking unbalanced? Why is Ann Coulter, you know, syndicated in this paper? And she really didn't want to answer those questions.
Right.
And after she left, and she left for really noble reasons. She quit so that her salary could be used to pay journalists.
Yeah.
Keep them going, which I thought was a very noble thing to do. But afterwards, she confirmed that, yeah, when you guys were on the board, I knew we were going in. I knew I was quitting. Mm-hmm. I knew we were doomed, and she didn't want to talk about
anything.
It.
She couldn't say anything. Right.
And that's the trap that, you know, a lot of corporations, and especially media corporations, a lot of people who work there are in. They cannot talk about what's really going on because they want to stay employed, and they know that if they tell tales out of school, no one will hire them.
Right.
So that's why you're never going to get a story about why Chuck Todd really has a job and why Matthew Dowd is really been hired back when he has no business having a job in television anywhere, because of shelter culture.
Mm-hmm. Shelter culture.
Yep.
Also, we want to applaud the names of the snowplows in Minnesota, class of 2022.
Great stuff.
Edward Blizzard Hands.
Mm-hmm.
No More Mr. Ice Guy. Blizzard of Oz. Scoop Dog. Plowasaurus Rex. The Big Leplowski. Control Salt Delete, and last but definitely not least, Betty Whiteout. Excellent, excellent.
Great work. Great
congratulations, work, Minnesota Department of Transportation.
Well done.
Well done. Each week we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is a beautiful dog named Watson. Watson will lock eyes with you in the evening until he gets his pre-bedtime dog biscuit, and he will not break eye contact with you until you give it to him.
They're like tractor beams.
Smart doggy. And of course, Watson eats freshly poured dog food, our fake sponsor. Whether you serve pet store perfection or dollar store dreck, your pet will sit on the kitchen floor and demand that the food they eat is only freshly poured. Freshly poured. Freshly poured. Oh, my Lord, it's freshly poured. And you can visit Watson. This is one place where we love to use Facebook to share the Internet Kitty of the Week.
We do. Yeah.
Yes, we do. He's a really sweet, sweet dog. We are posting his picture at our Facebook page and website.
Mm-hmm.
And you can send your Internet Kitty, dog, or other pet or animal to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, where you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go Postal Unions. Our mailman was out in the snow.
He was. Bless his heart.
Yes. Go Postal Unions. Letter on the air unless you say otherwise. Hashtag fire to joy already. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. This is not charity. This is our job, and we love doing this podcast. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast and provide us with our livelihood with a contribution. And you can contribute too. See our website, proleftpod.com, for details. We have PayPal, postal address information, Patreon, buy me a coffee. It's all there at proleftpod.com. Please share our show on social media. And if you love this podcast, please get someone else to listen to. And thank you for doing that. Hey, Driftglass, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
You know, Blue Gal, the Internet Kitties could not care less about the weather, but those 3-foot drifts on the porch are messing up the Squirrel and Bird Show.
Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Let's think about loving.
Think about loving.
Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the popping and the loving, loving, loving. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with the switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license, copyright 2022, DGBG Productions Incorporated.